Welcome to It's a Fabulous World Summit, brought to today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible and upcoming MC for the Public Speakers Conference, Mr. Drew Hunthausen. Drew, why don't you take it from here?
I would love to take it from here. Thank you, Tanya. I'm always honored to be on Tanya's show here. It's great that she does these every month. 2017. It's incredible to me that a whole year has gone by already. At my young age of 30, it is still mind-boggling sometimes to think about all that's happened this last year. Yes, but on the other hand, where did the time go? And as I reflect on this year, I am so grateful for the opportunity I have had as an inspirational and motivational speaker. But even more, I am so grateful, as I think I'm sure everybody can relate out there, all the people in my life that have encouraged me and helped me to get to where I am today and make it possible to do what I am able to do in helping other people. It's just so awesome. I want to start by sharing a couple quotes, actually three quotes, that have really encouraged me in entering this new year. The first one is from one of my favorite people that I'm so disappointed that I never got to meet. He's passed away now. Zig Ziglar. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. I think whether this year you're starting something new, something exciting, maybe something scary, I encourage you, just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward, because that momentum is what is going to get you to where you want to go, to achieve your goals. And I'd like to say, because the best is yet to come. The second quote I have is from St. Francis. And start with the necessary, then do what is possible. Pretty soon you will be doing the impossible. And the first thing that I noticed from that quote is same with the one from Ziglar. Start. You have to start. And that is, I think, the hallmark of success, whether it's in your business or whatever you're doing in your life. You have to start somewhere and then keep going to be successful. The last quote I have is from the New Testament in the Bible, from Romans. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called by Him according to His purpose for them. That's Romans 8:28. God has, despite what's going on in the news, the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, God has a plan for all of us, a plan for the good. And I think that really, in terms of the faith aspect of it, the faith is connected with a gratitude mindset. And no matter if you are a person of faith or not, I think you would agree that there is a higher power that's exponentially working in everybody's lives in this world to work together for the good. We all need something larger than us. I think that is such an important thing. I've been talking about being grateful, faith, moving forward, goals, all those wonderful things. That brings me to New Year's resolutions. How many of you out there have ever made a New Year's resolution? Well, to see all you raising your beautiful virtual hands. Well, I think whether it's for weight loss, starting a new morning routine, spending more time with your family or your spouse, those are all great positive things that we think about when we think about when we think about New Year's resolutions. When I think about my own New Year's resolutions and what historically has held us back, not from making New Year's resolutions, but from following New Year's resolutions throughout the whole year, I think it's been found that more than 80% of the New Year's resolutions that people make aren't followed through for the whole year. It's just really interesting. And I know, I'm sure there's some other people out there that can relate. I know that's definitely happened to me, where I've made those New Year's resolutions and to go to the gym or to eat healthier, and a month goes by and I forget about that New Year's resolution, or maybe it's just easier, more convenient not to eat as healthy, or I can't get to the gym. Well, I want to say that what I have come to find, that the way we think, the way we believe, and our limiting beliefs are really at the heart of why the reason that we often don't follow through with our New Year's resolutions. Those limiting beliefs keep us from moving forward through the whole year. They hold us back. And I'd be very interested, and I know next I'm going to talk a little bit about my own story and some of my own New Year's resolutions, what's worked for me. But I would love to hear from anybody who's on this call. Love to hear from you, Tanya, what has worked for you in terms of New Year's resolutions, what hasn't worked. I'm going to have, hopefully, a little bit of time at the end of this call for anybody who wants to call and ask questions. But also, I'm going to give you my contact info, as I would love to hear from as many people as possible. Now, I'm going to move into my story. About 18 and a half years ago, I was a healthy 11-year-old kid playing baseball, playing golf, loving life. I'm sure a lot of you can relate. Think back to your early days, 11-year-old kid in elementary school. Just loving life, kind of carefree, not too many worries. Well, that all changed in 1998 when I was diagnosed with bacterial meningitis. I'm going to step back for a second, because it all started one night in February. I had a fever. My dad came to check a meal in the middle of the night and found that I was unresponsive, rushed me to the hospital. They did a spinal tap, and 10 days later, I had gone to a coma at this time. 10 days later, they told my parents that I would most likely die. And if I didn't, I'd be a vegetable on a feeding tube for the rest of my life. Can you imagine? That's scary thoughts. But luckily, I hope you can see. Well, you can't see, but at least you can hear that I'm still here. I didn't die. But when I woke up from that coma, when I came home from the hospital, things were not looking good, let me tell you. I'm totally blind. I was hearing impaired, too weak to even sit up in bed. Not to mention, I was scared to death. This little, now 12-year-old kid, what the heck happened? All my dreams, all the things I was hoping for, and now I was stuck in bed. When I came home from the hospital, as I said, I was in a wheelchair, unable to do much. I brought one of those fancy hospital beds home with me, one of the ones where the push of a button, the back moves up and down, And that was my sole entertainment for quite a long time. Extremely, extremely fun. I had a special wheelchair made out of more plastic that I was wheeled into the backyard because I wasn't able to navigate the stairs, and that's where I took my showers. We put the garden hose through the kitchen window and hooked it up to the kitchen faucet because I do like my hot water. And that's where I would take my showers. It was extremely frustrating, but there was nothing I could do about it. I can remember this night after night where I would cry myself to sleep, just wailing out to God, asking him, what am I supposed to do with my life now? I mean, I'm blind. I'm hearing impaired. I'm stuck in bed. What else is there? Well, the miraculous thing is that I would go to bed, tears in my eyes, coming down my face. I would wake up in the morning, somehow with a renewed spirit. I had no clue, still no clue, what I was supposed to do with my life, what I was going to do, but only that God had put on my heart, that he wasn't done with my life yet. He had a purpose for me. There's a reason why I was still alive. And that kept me moving forward. That kept me making New Year's resolutions, setting new goals. We got such something that we all need to do. Now, it came to the summer, right after I got sick in July. And I can vividly remember myself just lying in bed. And I heard my brother and sister roughly, you know, somewhere in the house, and I knew what they were doing. They were packing for our family reunion that we have every 2 years. It hit me right away, just a fresh wave of jealousy, of frustration, because I wanted to go to the family reunion so much. I knew how much fun they were, and I really wanted to go, but I'm lying here in bed, totally helpless, that I knew it wasn't going to happen. Miraculously, now I don't know how long later, another sense came over me. This was a calm sense, a renewing sense. The jealousy had gone away, and a fierce sense of determination had all of a sudden come over me, and I was determined to do everything I could in my power, physical therapy, whatever it took, to make sure that in 2 years I was going to be at that reunion. My body was going to get strong enough. I was going to be up out of my bed. That wasn't an easy thing to imagine, not able to do anything. And if any of you, probably a lot of you have had any kind of physical, you know, if you've broken a bone or pulled a muscle or anything like that, that the body just doesn't heal up as fast as you would like it to. I mean, I wish I could have just snapped my fingers and said, oh, well, I'm done with this stupid body, just heal up and get going again. But no, it took a long, long physical therapy path. And if, I don't know if you ever seen the movie, What About Bob? I think it's from the early 90s. One of my favorite movies still today. Well, Bob is a psychiatric patient, and his doctor tells him to get over his psychiatric problems, he has to take baby steps, one baby step after another. Well, my friends, not just in my life, not just in physical recovery, but I think it's a metaphor for life, baby steps. one step at a time. That's ultimately how you get from one place to the next place, how you start recovery. Well, as I slowly got stronger, it got closer to the end of August to September, which meant school. And I don't know about you, but I just was in the hospital in a coma for 3 months. Don't you think the government should just pay me like, you know, $100 million or something and just say, oh, you're good to go. You know, you don't have to go to school or work for the rest of your life. Well, that I thought that might have been fair, but obviously no one else did. Because in September came, I started back to school. I was still so weak that the school district sent teachers to my house because I had to learn Braille. So I started learning Braille. And then, of course, the normal curriculum. And I was so weak at that time that it was kind of 1 hour to the next, resting in bed, getting up to take my lessons. I actually, which several years later, I wish I could have repeated, I actually took some of my classes in bed because I was too weak to get up. At the same time, I still have that fierce sense of determination to keep getting stronger, keep moving forward. And I did. That was seventh grade. In the eighth grade, I finally was strong enough to get back to campus with my friends. And that was liberating. I graduated eighth grade and on to high school, through high school. And one baby step at a time, one goal after another, one resolution after another, I made it and graduated with my bachelor's in sociology in 2012. It was such a huge milestone for me. To graduate college is a big thing. I totally agree. But for me, just my recovery physically, mentally, I had proved that I could still do it. I could talk for a very long time about all the different aspects of college, of making it through school, of all the challenges that I faced. But I don't have time to do that today in my short talk. Suffice it to say that they were many. That was just one chapter in my life. After I graduated from college, I guess you could say that started a new chapter. But I want to step back for a second and just say that none of the things I did, the goals I set and achieved, would have been possible without the amazing people in my life. My family, my brother, sister, mom, and dad, as well as so many friends and family. When I was in the hospital in a coma, I actually had people from over 13 different countries around the world praying for me. And if you can imagine, this was before social media even came on the scene. So that makes it, you know, even more of a feat, I guess you could say. But that it was really cool. But the power of community is immense. So one challenge after another, I slowly kept getting stronger. And my friends, we all face challenges in our lives at one time or another. We all have things that we struggle with. Probably most of you aren't disabled. You haven't been in the hospital for 5 months. But all the same, in your job and your personal life, you face those challenges. You face those things you have to overcome. Those New Year's resolutions that you set often because of that. It's a tough thing to say, but it's part of life. I want to talk to you now about an exercise. This is something that I do every day, but is actually something for New Year's resolutions, something to start in the new year if you're doing it for the first time. It's called the Five Fives. Very simple exercise. Take a piece of paper, or you can do it on your tablet or whatever, on your phone, on your computer. Make two columns. In the first column, write down five things you want to attract into your life. Write down five things you are grateful for or thankful for in your life. For me, I often write down things like my amazing family, the sunshine that I can feel coming through the window, even right now as I talk. The wonderful time I had with my sister at the beach the other day. The wonderful experience I have being a speaker. And then I switch gears. In the second column, I write down five things that I want to attract into my life. Maybe things that I'm praying for. And I often write down things like new speaking gigs each month this year, or better health, I want to find a new running partner to train with, or someone to bike with. This exercise is great. And when you do it each day, what this exercise does for you is it helps you to focus on what you are grateful for, what you're thankful for, what you want in your life, rather than the dark side or the problems you're having, the negative. I encourage all of you to try it out for 21 days and see what happens. I would love to hear from you. Send me a note. I'll give you my contact info after I'm done with my talk. Now, briefly, I want to tell you about an acronym that I came up with. I call it my ANGEL. A stands for attitude. It's important to wake up with a positive attitude of gratitude. Live that throughout the day. N is for no excuses. We all make excuses at one time or another. I'm too old. I'm too small. I'm not smart enough. I'm disabled. I encourage you to eliminate those excuses to become the person that God created you to be. G is for gratitude. An attitude of gratitude goes far. Someone once said that when you are truly grateful, it is impossible to be sad. Think about that for a minute. E for exercise. Exercising your mind and body is important for a healthy life. L for love yourself. Loving yourself, I'm not talking about conceited love, but loving yourself really allows you to be a good friend, to love others. It also goes with forgiveness. You have to forgive yourself and forgive others. Someone once said, living in unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. That's another one to think about for a minute. I wish I had more time to talk about my angel, but I encourage you to try living out your own angel in this new year. Attitude, no excuses, gratitude, exercise, and love yourself. This is a new year, 2017. It's going to be your best year yet, because the best is yet to come. I also have a free guide to give you, the five keys to living a no excuses life filled with joy, peace, and prosperity. You can get it by going to my website, drewsinspirations.com. That's DREWS, the word inspirations with an S.com. I would love to hear from you as well. You can make comments when you go to my website. I also started doing a Facebook Live for anybody who's on Facebook. You should check it out. It's called A Day in the Life of a Blind Guy. And I've done just different short videos show how a blind guy does different things. For example, how do I prepare my coffee? That's one episode. How do I go swimming in my pool in 50-degree weather? Or how do I beat my sister at pool? That's one of them. I'd love you to check it out. And of course, I would love to hear from you for any other suggestions of things that you think might, you would like to know how a blind guy does them, send me a note. Now, if there's any time left, Tanya, if there's anybody who has any questions, I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much, Tanya.
Hey, Drew.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, can I ask you a question?